verse 8, Song of Solomon 2, verse 8. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For lo, the winter is past, and the rain is over and gone. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether. Now, our winter hasn't been terribly cold. It hasn't been snowy like the winter before was, but we have experienced a little bit of a few spring days, and so then they went away, and we've had some cooler days and some cloudy days, and I think we're all ready for the spring to spring and stay sprung. So I came across this passage this week, and it really spoke to my heart, and it's a message about how that our Lord Jesus Christ revives and brings the precious presence after the long winter of a trial, and he causes us to have sweet communion with him again after a long time of separation, what seems like separation from our viewpoint. Now, the Song of Solomon is a beautiful song. It's a song of Christ's love for his bride. It's his love for his church, the elect of God, and of his bride's love for Christ. But I want to look at this passage this morning a little more personally than that. I'll look at it as the reviving that Christ brings to the believer personally. And I think you'll get the picture when we start looking at it. Our trials are very often dark, and they're cold, and they're long, just like a winter is. And we feel separated from our Redeemer. And then, as these wintry trials come along, we're longing for Christ. Once it really sets in, and we really are chilled by the separation from Him, we long for Him. We really realize that we have made a big error, and we have grown cold, and we long for His presence again. We long for communion with Him. And then something happens. And here's what we see the first thing happens. We hear the voice of Christ. It says in verse 8, this is an exclamation. This is the bride, the believer speaking, the voice of my beloved. She hears Him, His voice. She hears Him. It's been a long wait. You've been longing to hear His word. You know how you start listening more intently. You start looking and searching more diligently. You start trying to hear a word from Him and get a word from Christ. And sometimes you can't get it. Sometimes it's long and you think you won't ever hear from Him again. And you're seeking for that word from Him and you don't hear it. But then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit pierces through the chill and right into your heart, and you hear His voice speak. You hear Christ speak. Not audibly. It's not, I want to say that for our young people. It's not an audible voice. It's a voice in the heart. You hear His voice speak in the heart. And you know His voice because you're His sheep. And His sheep hear His voice and they know Him and you hear Him. Just like if your husband's been gone, ladies, for a long time and you hear him out in the yard. And you just faintly hear His voice. But you know as soon as you hear it, that's my beloved. That's Him. Well, she hears His voice and speaking to her personally. And notice how he approaches. Verse 8 says, Behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or like a young hart. He's coming across those mountains like a young deer, just skipping right across those mountains. Now, the one to whom the Lord's coming is His. This is His beloved. This is one who's been given to Him. This is one who He's had from everlasting. This is one who He came to this earth and went to the cross and laid down His life for and redeemed from all sin. This is His beloved. And He's coming to her speedily. He's coming now across those mountains, and He's coming speedily. And those mountains and those hills that He's coming across, they're the mountains and the hills of division. They're the mountains and the hills that have separated us from Him. And they're mountains we couldn't conquer. They're mountains we couldn't get over. They're mountains that we couldn't move because of our coldness of heart and our unbelief. If you got faith, you can move mountains. But when you don't have faith, when it's just become so cold that you can't even, you got so many doubts and fears, or it's your sin and your temptation, or the whatever it is that's caused these mountains, but they're not too much for our Lord. They were put there on purpose so you couldn't get over them, to show you He can, and to show you without Him you can do nothing. We have to have Him. And He comes across those mountains like a young hart, like a young roe, like a young deer comes across the mountains. Let me ask you a question. Are you in love with Christ? Really in love with Him? When you're in love with somebody, you want to be with them. You don't want to be separated from them. When they go away, and you know this, husbands and wives, you separated from them for any length of time, it's you want to get back to them. You want to see them. You don't want to be separated from them because you love them. You love them. You got a son, a daughter. You're their mother, their father. And you know when you're separated from them for a long time, you want to be with them. You want to see them. You want to hold them. You want to be next to them. Well, if that's the case with you, with anybody here, it's because God loved you first. If that's the case with anybody here, it's because Christ set His affection on you long before you set your affection on Him. It's because that He set His affection on you when as yet you weren't even lovable in ourselves. When we were just enemies in our minds by wicked works, had no strength, had no power, had nothing. And He yet came and He put away all our sin and did everything necessary to reconcile us to God. We saw this the other day. Just like it was in that first winter blast that came, it caused you to see your need of Christ in the day of conversion. Just like it's been in every trial since then. When our Lord comes, He makes you to know this, that if when we were enemies, He reconciled us, made us friends to God by His death. If He did that when we were enemies and made us friends, much more than being now His friends, being much more than now reconciled, and Christ being risen, we'll be saved by His life. Is there anything that can separate us from the love of Christ? You see, we can be separated from our loved ones here below, but we can't be separated. A believer, the elect of God, chosen and put in Christ, can never, ever, 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 ever be separated from the love of Christ. It won't happen. There's not a winter that's cold enough. As the old song says, there ain't no mountain high enough. There is nothing that can keep us separated from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Nothing can do it. He can overcome those mountains. So that first thing, we hear His voice and we see Him overcoming these mountains. And then He reveals Himself to be very near to us. We hear His voice first. It's faint. We think it's Him. We think He's near us. But then He lets us know He's near. Look at verse 9. Behold, He standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing Himself through the lattice. He's near. He makes His presence known. He lets you know He's near. He lets us know that in our hearts. But we don't see Him without something between us. There's something between us already, or still here. He standeth behind our wall, showing Himself through the lattice. You ever look through lattice? You know, you can see whoever's standing behind it, bits and pieces of them, but you can't see them completely, can you? You can recognize who it is, but you can't see them fully. Well, that's how we are in this flesh. We still have this flesh. That wall is the wall we built. That wall is the wall that is our making. It's our wall. And we can see Him. We see Him by faith. We see Him in providence. He's working, but we see bits and pieces. We see His hand here and there, and a foot here and there, but we can't see completely what He's doing. We see Him in the Word. And even when we see Him as fully as we can see Him, we're still looking through a glass darkly. We're still just seeing a little bit of Him. But in these trials like this, in this cold winter, and when these mountains of division have separated us from Him, and He makes Himself known to us, that wall is between us still, because there's something there that separated us from Him. He's come through the mountains now. He's come near. We know He's near. But there's still a wall that's got to be removed. There's still something that's got to be taken down. And we can't see Him fully, but here's our consolation. We can't see Him fully, but He sees us clearly. It says here, He looketh forth at the windows. He's looking through the windows. We can't see Him because we're trying to look through the lattice, but He's looking through the windows, and He sees us clearly. You know, whenever He came to Peter, and He said, "Peter, do you love Me?" And Peter said, "Lord, you know. He puts the love in the heart. He creates the heart. And He puts the love in the heart, and the longing in the heart, and that desire for Him in the heart, so that He sees clearly. He knows it's there. He won't let it die. He won't let that fire go out. He put it there, and He's going to keep it going. Whenever we are so broken down, and we go into our closet and we just fall down and we're mourning and we're weeping and nobody knows it. Our dearest loved one doesn't know it. He sees it. He sees in secret. He sees in secret. He knows. He put that longing there. He put those tears in our heart. And He knows that. He knows the heart of the one that where he's put that. And when we grow cold and indifferent, He's the one that puts all these secret longings back in our hearts with His secret workings that we don't even know about. And He sees everything. He sees the whole thing, what's going on when we're crying out to Him and longing for it. He sees us. And then thirdly, here's what we see. Now, He's made us hear His voice. He's made us know that He's near. And then again, He calls to us. But this time when He calls to us, He calls us to Himself. Before, He was just calling as He came across the mountains, and we could hear Him. Now He calls us personally to Himself. Look, verse 10. "My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." Rise up. You've been in this house of mourning now for way too long. You've been hiding in this bed of your own making for way too long. You've been trying to warm yourself and comfort yourself under these blankets and these quilts of carnal quilts and blankets for way too long. Time to rise up now, He says. The trial has come to its purpose. It's fulfilled its end. It's time for you to rise up now. He says, "Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." And you think to yourself, surely He can't be talking to me. He calls me my love and my fair one. Surely He can't be talking to me. You've been feeling that stormy wind of the law and your guilt and all that you are and all that you've done. You've been feeling the icy sleet and the snow of the winter and all of your coldness and your dullness and your neglect of the means of His grace and attending and hearing His Word and reading His Word and all of those things. You know all of those things. You think to yourself, surely He's not calling me my love. Surely He's not saying of me that I'm His love. You ever been there? You ever felt like that? That, Lord, I can't possibly be Yours. I can't possibly be somebody that You love. The seasons change and the weather changes and the climate changes, but the love of Christ for His beloved never changes. He said, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I've loved thee with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee." He not only expresses into your heart that He's calling you my love. But he expresses it into your heart and spreads that love abroad in our hearts through the Holy Spirit in such fullness that he makes us to know that we are his only one and only. He says, my love. My love. And he says, my fair one. And you think, surely he can't be talking to me. It's been through this trial, the ground is covered over in snow and it's covered over in ice, and I've lost my footing and I've slipped down and I've gotten dirty and defiled and filthy in all of this. Surely he can't be calling me my fair one. Surely he can't be saying I'm fair after all that I've fallen and done. What tongue will condemn you? Your righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Christ fulfilled the law for his bride. Christ satisfied justice for his bride. Christ has come to every one of you who know him by the Spirit of his grace and given you faith to believe him, and he's clothed you in the snow-white garments of his righteousness. And they can't be sullied. They can't be defiled. That inward man that he's created is created in righteousness and true holiness. And he's righteous and holy, even though that outward man's defiled and polluted. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. If any man, we come to him and confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Because he's the propitiation for our sins, the atonement for our sins, satisfaction for our sins. And he comes to us and he speaks to us and he says, thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. You see what he's doing? He's speaking to you in ways to where you know, I don't deserve to be spoken to this way. But he's wooing you by his sweet, sweet good news in your heart. And he's letting you know, I know what you've done, but I remember it no more. It's you're my love. You're my fair one. Come away. Arise. Come with me. And then he comforts us so much that we can't do anything else but willingly arise and follow him. And latch on to him with everything, with the heart of faith. Watch what he does. Verse 11. He says, for lo, the winter's past. The rain's over and gone. That long winter trial, it served its purpose. You know what Paul said in Corinthians? He said, God's faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. But will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Just as he did when he first began to work a work of grace in our hearts, where we thought we were just going to just crush under the load of guilt and sin and just seeing what we are in light of his glory and his goodness. Just when we thought we were about to wilt and fade, just as he did in every trial since then, just at the right time, just when he's brought us right to where we're supposed to be, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, he comes with healing in his wings, and he whispers, rise, my love, my fair one, come away with me, for lo, the winter's past, the rain's over and gone, I've brought forth the fruit in you that I purposed to bring forth by that long, cold winter. I've brought forth that fruit. Verse 12, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of the birds has come, the voice of the turtle dove is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. All that's fruit that he's produced in his child. That he's produced in you as you've been going through that long trial of winter. And you think to yourself, but all I did was cry just like a lonesome turtle dove because I just wanted to be safe in the arms of Christ, my beloved rock. And he says there in verse 14, O my dove, thou art in the clefts of the rock. And you say, but my beloved, all I did was go away to my closet beneath the stairs, and I just mourned for you like a dove for her mate, night and day. And I didn't find any rest. I longed for you like Noah's dove longed to return to the ark. And Christ says, O my dove, you are in secret places. I've hidden you in my heart of love. I've hidden you. Let me see thy countenance. come out here. Let me hear your voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely to me. Brethren, the trial is always to turn us to Him. The trial is always to make us long in our hearts to be hidden in Him. And when He's brought that longing into our hearts, that's the flower of spring that He has produced. The trial is always to bring us to mourn for Him in the secret place of the heart, in secret prayer, in all honesty, in spirit, and in truth. And that's the voice of spring. That's the fragrant fruit which our Redeemer produces by His power and His grace through these trials, these tribulations. That's when we have sweet communion with our Beloved. That's when we know sweetheart love. That's when this book becomes a love song and we hear Him speak. And that's where the all-wise lover of our souls keeps His bride. That's when we have a communion so real, it's like He's standing right here with us and He's saying, "Let me see thy countenance. Let me hear thy voice. For sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely." Now, let's learn from our Beloved what His loving admonition is to us. He says now in verse 15, "Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." He's telling us now that you've been brought back to communion with me. Now that you've got this fragrant fruit abounding in your heart, and this sweetheart communion between yourself and your Redeemer, your Beloved, He says, now guard and watch against the foxes. Because they come along and they destroy the tender vines, and they'll destroy the tender fruit that He's produced. Let nothing disturb the peace between you and Christ. Let nothing disturb the peace between Christ and His bride. Let nothing disturb the peace between you and your brethren. Those little foxes that are creep around in that old man with his deeds in our flesh. Those little foxes of evil, inordinate, unclean, covetous desires. It's all idolatry. It don't matter if it takes the form of fornication or if it takes the form of a covetous money hoarder. It's all idolatry. And those little foxes of anger and wrath that starts breeding malice. It just starts out as little foxes at first. Filthy communication of every kind, especially that little fox that wants to just say a little something about one of these brethren that's sitting right here. Oh, we'll say it in humor, bless their heart. But that's still a little fox that'll just come up and take a little bite out of those tender fruit. Watch for that little fox that genders into that big bad wolf called pride. And every little fox, they'll spoil the tender grapes. Now He says to us, the winter's past, the rain is over and gone. Christ come across a deer, come across those mountains like a deer, come across all those mountains of division. He's made us enjoy sweet communion once again. He says, cherish and guard the springtime of this communion, the fruitfulness that we have in our Beloved. And so He makes us to say this, as long as we are waiting for that eternal day when we be with Him, when we see what He's done, and when He does this all over again, and we see how He's produced this fruit in us, this is what we say. This is our desire, this is our prayer, and this is our confidence. Verse 16, here's our rejoicing. My Beloved is mine, and I'm His. I know He will not leave me. He feedeth among the lilies. He walks right here where I am. Right here where I am. And here's our prayer. Until the day break, until that day when You return, O Lord, and all the shadows flee away, turn, my Beloved, and be Thou like a roe or a young hart. Be Thou like that deer that comes speedily to my rescue and come across those mountains of Bether, those mountains of division. Amen.